the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2019. Casey, I'm feeling a little sniffly.
Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure
what's going on. I must have gotten poked in the nose. I am sniffly, but because Draymond Green intentionally poked me in the nose.
Or it's because your face intentionally landed on your teammate's leg and broke?
Yeah. Or I was pushed by Nikola Jokic.
Yes.
Into that same player.
Yes.
And
a fight breaks out, y'all.
And then one of my favorite players came off the bench into the fight, but will not get suspended because it happened during a timeout.
It happened during a timeout, which is...
of course, we're talking about the Nuggets Blazers.
Bon appetit.
Nuggets Blazers, a little scuffle at the end of their game last
night. Yeah, and that was a very mild scuffle.
I know. I was just hoping when I first saw it, because I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights. I was hoping that Jamal Murray would be suspended. But then I read about this timeout issue.
No, and so the only thing on Jamal Murray that's suspended is the health of his leg.
Yeah. Is that still from the last game?
No, I think it was kind of aggravated in this game.
Oh, okay. Because he also injured himself, somebody like... need him in the thigh or something in game one, or maybe in the last series even.
I mean, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and make Jamal Murray excuses, because you're just gonna shoot him down.
In general, injury excuses are very tough to take, because it's like Paul George, his shoulder was hurting. He still did a double clutch reverse dunk at the end of a game.
Yeah.
That maybe...
I don't know.
That hurts my case.
Winning cures everything, though. Winning really does cure
everything. Well, yeah. You know, the 2016... Was 2016 the 3-1 comeback?
Yes.
For the Cavs? I mean...
It was also the 3-1 comeback for the Warriors.
Oh, because they did that against the Thunder. Yeah. But Curry was definitely hurt in those playoffs.
Yes, he was. He was real hurt.
But I don't remember him ever really making a big deal out of it.
I mean...
People did, but I don't remember him saying things.
Yeah, I think he tried to gut through it.
He didn't come to the last press conference wearing a cast.
No,
as some
he had,
have
he
done.
Had Riley come to the press conferences wearing a cast.
That's right. So did you watch some games?
I did watch some games. So I watched a good decent portion of the Portland Blazers game from last night, which was a lot of fun, even though it felt like the game was kind of a slog. I feel like a lot of games where it's a little sloggy, everybody's missing, no one's grabbing a rebound, which I don't know if you saw this, but in the fourth quarter, the Nuggets had 18 offensive rebounds or some ridiculous number like that. They were at one point leading the rebounding matchup in the fourth quarter by 20-2.
Just in the fourth quarter?
Just in the fourth quarter. It was absolutely just wild.
Because is this because the Blazers are undersized in general, or is it an effort thing? Or
I truly...
I mean, it could just be randomness.
It felt like it was an effort thing, honestly. The Nuggets were just going balls out
right
on the offensive glass.
They were behind, though.
They were behind by 10 until the end of the game.
Attempting to defend their home court.
Yeah, and they failed. They failed at it.
Well, they're not used to the altitude. So
yes, that is true.
They're only there 41 games a year.
Yeah, who could say? And so I think the interesting thing about this game from last night, the Game 2 Blazers-Nuggets, is... So Jokic, after the game, he said that the Blazers didn't even play that well.
Yeah.
Right. And they still beat us. And that is such an honest quote.
Yeah.
From a guy that I was a little taken aback that he said it. And that, it's true. Neither team played real well.
Yeah.
And, Denver knows that they can play better than that. But here's the thing. Portland also knows they can play better than that.
Yeah. Certainly Lillard can play better than he played.
Yeah.
So neither of these teams plays real all-world defense.
No.
So for them to be so low scoring.
Yeah, I mean, the Nuggets played really good team defense this year, which is the Portland did not play great team defense, but they still played good. They were better than average. And against each other, though, they're like we kind of talked about in the last podcast, they're weirdly matched, right? The backcourt in Portland is much better offensively, and the front court in Denver is much better offensively.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a weird clash of teams. And when they're both playing,
it's almost like if you put these two teams together, you'd have a really good team.
Man, you'd have a great team. Just think about if you put Jokic on the man, they should have traded Jokic instead of
Nurkic.
No, I think they made the right move. But yeah, I mean, these two teams are linked. You know, they're in the same division. They're they've had a trade history. You know, there is some blood between them, and so it's interesting to watch them play because it's intense and it's interesting. But also, like, you know, who's gonna take over this series?
Yeah, you would expect Lillard to.
Yeah, but I think last night the guy who took over the series in his own way was CJ McCollum, who has really had a fantastic playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he is always going to play second fiddle to Damian Lillard, but sometimes that second fiddle just gets the better part. And you know, if you got Tchaikovsky's seventh, you know, that second fiddle is actually a juicier part than the first fiddle.
And it says fiddle, right? Fiddle, in the score for
in Tchaikovsky's classical music, he had fiddles.
Yeah.
It was a fiddle dance. It was a river dance.
That's right.
Tchaikovsky was Irish, right?
Yes, I believe he's Irish. That sounds like an Irish name.
Yeah, he's super Irish.
So we haven't really had a game where Lillard and McCollum both went off in the same game.
We did. There was that game that he had a really good third quarter in the first round, and Lillard McCollum actually led the team in scoring in that game.
Yeah, because I feel like, especially if they make it to the next round, they're not going to be able to have this one of us is having a good game and one of us isn't.
Yeah.
It's not going to sustain against the Rockets or the Warriors.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess what I was saying about the defenses was I would not have expected games in this series to be 97-90.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I think we're expecting more shots to go in.
And
yesterday, I think one of those symptoms of not playing well is that their shots just didn't fucking go in.
But very good for Portland to the overall rebounding edge. They lost by a lot.
Yes.
As well.
A huge amount.
So to still win.
Yeah. And I mean, to win and win dominantly, to be up most of the game.
So wait, the Nuggets like shot like 35% or something.
Yeah,
like they shot poorly, right?
'Twas bad.
And do you think from what you watched, was it a matter of them not getting good looks or just literally shots just were not going in?
So it was shots not going in.
Yeah.
Honestly, like it felt like they had a ton of open threes that they clanked. It felt like they had stuff down low that clanked.
Mm-hmm.
It was just not a good shooting game.
I wonder how 3-point just to narrow it down. I wonder how 3-point percentages are on open looks in the playoffs versus regular season.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Because last year's Rockets 27 shots in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those were open.
They're 27 shots in a row.
I should say 25 shots. And two fouls,
yeah, because of their
analysis, their ref analysis.
Oh, I can't wait to get into that.
But if a number of those shots were open.
Yeah.
Last night's, or 2 nights ago, Rockets-Warriors game, there were lots of Warriors, pretty open three-point looks. And honestly, the Rockets had open looks that they just missed too, and they still shot like 40-something%.
Yeah.
But like, those aren't really like good defense. If it's somebody's wide open shooting it and they miss.
No, you know, you can attribute that to their defense, the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure created by a vacuum, right? A vacuum creates pressure as well. Have you ever seen a space movie where somebody's head explodes because of a vacuum?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's not actually how it works. So.
I know, but it happens in movies.
It does happen in movies.
I mean, in movies, you know, if you're holding on to something like the arm of a space station and then you let go, you will fall far away at a speed that is generated by the fact that you let go because there's up and down in space.
Yeah. Did you see High Life?
No.
That they actually say that because they're constantly accelerating, there is gravity in that movie. And that's their explanation for the fact that they don't have any fucking like space stuff.
Oh, is High Life about...
It's about space.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, see High Life.
If they're constantly, that's
go
true.
Go watch The Fuck Box.
I was thinking about George Clooney in Gravity, where he's like holding on to something and the space station's like just rotating the way it rotates. And then he lets go and then suddenly he falls. Like, it's like he would be in the same space, just not holding on to the thing anymore.
Yeah. I mean, but there for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
His fingers opening.
His fingers. Yeah. And now he's gone.
Apropos of nothing, since you mentioned seeing High Life, I recommend everyone's watch the show I Think You Should Leave.
Oh my God.
Have you watched it?
Have I watched it five times already?
I watched it all last night. I might go back.
Did I not after the show tell you I'd watched it like three times already last?
No, I don't.
Oh damn, I should
Oh
have.
No, maybe you did.
I think I did.
Yes, and then I shot a short film this last weekend.
Yeah.
The cinematographer was the cinematographer for I Think You Should Leave.
Hell yes.
So got some good stories.
Oh my God.
Apparently there's six sketches they cut.
There's another episode. Oh, there's a bless
full,
it.
He said they could do a whole, almost like another half season just on what they've shot.
Oh, that makes me so happy because like that show in my mind is exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
Like I've just been putting it on in the background while I've been doing stuff because I love it. It's so me.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah. What's the joke here?
Is that the joke?
And
this is a betrayal on levels that have never even been heard of.
He's the same character in every single one.
Just the way that he contorts his face is amazingly funny.
Yeah, talking about Tim Robinson. It actually makes me want to go. I've never watched Detroiters.
Yeah, I mean it's on my list now because I just gotta get the series.
So the Eastern Conference's series both evened up.
Both evened up. We got three even series now.
After pretty definitive game ones where we were like, ooh, they got crushed.
They did.
They kind of came both.
Yeah. So I watched all of the Celtics Bucks game.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right. And this game was like, what if you held down Giannis for a half?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, we can definitely do this in the second half. And then you try to do it in the second half. And it doesn't fucking happen. But here's the thing. In this game, it wasn't just Giannis who was playing well. Chris Middleton killed it.
Mm-hmm.
He was having a great game. Eric Bledsoe had an amazing game. It was funny. We like talked about what the best kind of game from all of the Bucks players were. And they all had those games.
Uh-huh.
Right? The Bledsoe had like 21 and 5, which is like, that's exactly what we pegged him at.
Right.
For a good game. It was really impressive what they did to the Celtics in that game because the Celtics like they tried and like Kyrie Irving just was missing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Al Horford like had an Al Horford game where he shot really well and scored 15 points, but that's not enough to carry a team. Like,
yeah. I mean I'm still concerned with how much the Celtics can score just in general. And also Tatum continues to like here's the thing I thought after...
Wait, Tatum? You mean the ghost of Jason Tatum?
Here's the thing I've thought about Tatum, is that it might just be a little too early to expect second-year players to do anything, considering the way he played and the way Donovan Mitchell played.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yes, every once in a while you have a LeBron James or something that comes in and is doing serious work in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But... I mean, he's having a bad playoffs.
It is not good. I mean, he had a way better playoffs last year.
Yeah. And last year was when they were sort of the young Bucks without, and I don't mean the Milwaukee Bucks, but without, like, it was like, it's kids table time. Like, you guys go crazy. We don't expect anything from you this year. Just do the best you can. And like, they all kind of like blossomed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, how are you feeling about that series?
I mean, I feel still good about Bucks in 7 because I think that we're going to see some seesawing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I mean, when one team wins by 22 and the other one team wins by 21, you aren't really going to see,
right,
like, a trend. There's no trend that we can say, all right, this is definitely going to continue. You know, it's just going to be different, and they're going to play in Boston, and we're going to see how it goes. I still like the Bucks because I think they're deeper, better, and they have the best player in the series.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I'm with the Bucks. And, you know, anytime you can get 30 minutes and 11 rebounds out of Pat Connaughton's leaping ability.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if Pat Connaughton is extra, like, gets an extra boost from being in Boston just because his name sounds like he should, you know, be a Boston person.
I think so. I think he'll go for it and he'll be like, ah, I'm finally in front of the Celtic pride and we can get it going. Actually, did Pat Connaughton go to Notre Dame?
No, I think he did. Yeah.
He did go to Notre Dame.
So he's probably got Irish blood somewhere.
I mean, with a name like Connaughton, I'm gonna guess
he has extended family in Boston that came to see him.
Went to his bio on ESPN.com, and it's just a picture of Conor McGregor,
his uncle. So, and Sixers.
His favorite movie is The Quiet Man with John Wayne.
Does it say that really? No. Oh, God, that would be amazing.
Just fun Irish stereotypes.
And the
Sixers. Because I don't want to do any offensive Irish stereotypes, just want to do fun ones.
Yeah. There's, you know, Irish people can take it. Because, you know, once you get, you know, Irish people had a lot of discrimination when they first came over to the America. But once you get accepted into the umbrella banner of white,
yeah,
like, we can make fun of you all we want.
Yeah, but go for it.
Because nothing happens bad happens to you. Because of your skin color, that's all.
Because of your skin color.
So the Sixers evened it up as well.
Yes, they did. And they evened it up in a game that they almost gave away.
Yeah.
If not for... just the most hilarious play at the end of the game. The Raptors down three with like 20 seconds to go, something mm-hmm. like that, very near the end of the game. Kyle Lowry sees a backpedaling Tobias Harris.
Oh, yes.
And he goes, what should I do in this situation?
Should I be like Nikola Jokic?
Should I be like a point guard?
Uh-huh.
Or should I be like Sam Cassell and just throw my stones around and just balls out, balls on the court, as much gusto as you possibly could? He tried to nutmeg Tobias Harris.
Saw that.
For those of you who don't know what a nutmeg is when you dribble the ball through the opposing player's legs.
Right, and then attempt to recover it yourself?
You got to recover it yourself.
There was no way he was getting to that ball. Like, if you watch that replay.
Wild. It just went off Tobias Harris's leg.
They got it back.
They did get it back, but it was not a good play, I'll tell you that much.
Kyle Lowry is the fat Allen Iverson.
No!
Like, Allen Iverson, and if you added, just overnight, added 40 pounds to him and made him play.
Because
he doesn't like to practice.
And you can't move him in the post. That's the added part.
Because of his thickness.
Double C's.
Down, he's down with the thickness.
Oh, no. That reference was disturbed.
Oh. Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
So
I saw them in concert once.
Wow.
My freshman year roommate in college.
How was that?
It was awful. It was the Jägermeister Presents Lizard Man's concert tour. Yes, right. So he was a
who's
concert
Lizard rep. Man?
Lizard Man is a man who has tattooed his entire body to look like a lizard and cut his tongue in half, so he's got a double sided tongue.
Is he wealthy?
Good fucking question. I've never seen him ever since. He was a music rep for Warner Brothers, so he would like get tickets and CDs for Warner stuff to promote them on campus, and he was too scared to go to this metal concert by himself, so I went with him.
And your friend.
My friend.
Not Lizard Man.
Not Lizard Man. Lizard Man was not scared to go to his own concert to promote Jägermeister. It was truly just the most freshman year
college
experience.
Was it just Disturbed, or was it?
It was other people, too.
Who else did you see?
I think we left after Disturbed because...
Were they first?
Like, yes.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah,
it was... It was that bad.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Truly a concert for our times.
I also saw a clip of J.J. Redick almost throwing a ball at somebody. Because he was mad at the ref.
Yeah.
And I had never seen this previous clip of DeMar DeRozan throwing a basketball at, good Lord, that's a photo of Lizard Man.
Yeah.
Throwing a basketball at a referee because he was mad.
Yes.
But anything else to say about Sixers? Raptors?
I think that in the first game, it was not even. And in the second game, it was pretty even. So, it seems to me like this is still in the Raptors' favor because I think that if they get if they play up to their capabilities, they'll win. But also, like, you know, Jimmy Butler had a great game. You know, Joel Embiid is going to be better. Ben Simmons is going to be better. I think the thing to look out for is my boy Danny Green has just completely shit the bed in the first two games of the series. You know, I kind of talked about not really needing like star turns from Kyle Lowry and Danny Green in this series because Kawhi and Siakam were so good. But I think that, you know, if you get anything from those guys that's above just like base level replacement player stuff, then truly I think the Raptors would run away with it.
Right.
I think that, you know, right now with them playing kind of at a lower level of proficiency, I mean, it's going to be a fun series. That's the important thing.
Let me tell you two other bands that were on that tour.
Okay, talk to me.
The first part of the tour was supported. I don't know what this means, supported by. It means maybe they opened for them and you guys didn't see them?
Yeah.
COC?
Did not see a COC.
Who's that? I don't know. And second half of the tour, Blood Simple.
Wow. I feel like I know Blood Simple. Oh, no, that's just a Coen Brothers movie that I'm thinking of.
Oh, they aired the entire
movie, yeah, Blood Simple. Concert. What a concert.
That'd be cool, have a tour supported by a movie.
Yeah. It's the one that I saw was the Jägermeister music tour with Disturbed, Slayer, and Slipknot.
Hey, Slipknot.
Yeah.
I enjoy Slipknot's masks.
Yes.
I think that part's fun. It's more fun than their, you know. I think I prefer Slipknot. No, I think I prefer Mudvayne's masks.
Mudvayne.
Those are fun masks. So you were talking about, well, first of all, I want to say that it's interesting that Eric Gordon and Eric Bledsoe are still very important to these playoffs.
Yeah.
like they still, I'd say both of the teams almost like if they can get really good games out of those guys, they have a much better shot at winning.
Yeah.
So speaking of Eric Gordon, mm-hmm. did you catch any Rockets Warriors?
I did catch a little bit of Rockets Warriors.
I watched both these games.
Kind of the first half of the both of the games.
Uh-huh. I mean, first half.
When the injuries happened on game two.
Well, first half for game two, the Rockets just put themselves in a hole that they just never came out of. Like, it's a weird thing. The second game, I forgot what the score was, but it's like a 6-point win or something like that, and it would never felt that close.
Stuck in a hole, then they can't get out.
They were down by like 14 in the first quarter at some point.
Yeah.
And weirdly, they just seem very passive or something. Like, they never made a push in the second half.
Yeah.
That felt like it was almost like both teams just kind of like chugged along.
And then the game was over. We got to get to the end of this basketball game.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the game flow on ESPN, you'll see that you're absolutely correct. The Rockets, like, the closest they got was within, like, basically what they did at the end of the game. They got within six.
They could have cut it to three when Chris Paul missed a 3-point shot.
Yeah, they did cut it to three in the four. In the fourth.
But it was, I don't know, it just never felt particularly energized. And one thing that doesn't help a team look energized is when they give up as many offensive rebounds as they did.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, I talked before the playoffs about the Rockets are undersized.
Yeah.
I happened to look up in a discussion about this. They are 28th in the league in defensive rebounding rate. That's not good.
That's bad. That's officially bad.
The Warriors had 14 more offensive possessions than they did. They took 91 shots.
Yeah.
And I think the Rockets took like 77.
Yeah.
So if there's any team you don't want to give more shot opportunities to in the league, it's definitely the Warriors.
Yeah.
So this was an interesting game for the Rockets philosophy because they actually shot pretty well from three.
Yeah.
And they
made 17 3-pointers and they lost the game.
Yeah. So
that's pretty wild.
It's kind of the flip of last year's 27 misses. Like
They did miss 23 of their 40 shots.
They did. But they shot like what? 43?
17 for 40. So 42%.
42%. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
I assume the effective field goal percentage of that is something like 52% or something. If you count how much the shots are worth.
Yeah.
Any time you can shoot that well.
63%.
Is it really?
Effective field goal. Because you just take half of the.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You take half and add it.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Like, any game that you can shoot 63% from the field, or at least on part of your shots.
Yeah. So on half of the shots, they shot 63%.
Yeah.
Great.
Congrats.
They shot well from the free throw line. I mean, they just had a game where it was like, oh, yeah, scored 109 points. You know, we shot basically 45% from the field and 80% from the line. That's a game we should win. And then they would just had no chance.
They were never close. Like, it never felt close. So one issue, again, that should worry them is that I believe at the end of the game, even though they gave up all those offensive rebounds, second chance points were very close.
Yeah.
And it's because the Warriors just straight up missed, I would say, 5 or 6 3-point shots that came off of offensive rebounds where it was just like Klay Thompson by himself shooting a 3-point shot and just missing it.
Yeah.
And that is not a model that you can depend on happening going forward.
Oh, no. So I got a question.
Iguodala and Draymond played great in the first half as well. Awesome.
I mean, I feel like that Iggy Draymond pick and roll with the lob and the dunk is just like clutch. That play works all
the time. And they make the correct read 90% of the time. And, what were you going to say?
So here's my question. I feel like this game is a Chris Paul conundrum game.
Yes.
Right? Chris Paul played 40 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Right? In the 40 minutes he was on the court, they outscored the Warriors by 5 points.
Uh-huh.
Nobody else on the team who was a starter had a positive plus minus.
Oh, right? Wow.
Everybody else played poorly. But so just when Chris Paul went out,
they gave
Rockets
up most of their margin
lost the game.
Yeah.
Right? And that was 8 minutes. Do you feel like in watching this game, Chris Paul played in such a way that it felt like he was leading his team to victory?
They are definitely better when Chris Paul is out there. So I would say, what is the conundrum? Like, should he play more?
Well, it's just like he's the only good, like the only time that good things happen is when he's on the court.
Yeah.
Right. And things happen so badly when he's off the court. I mean, that's why his, real plus minus is always so high offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
Is he's got this like thing where whenever he plays, the team that he's on is playing winning basketball. And when he doesn't play, they fall apart. And that is, to me, the Chris Paul conundrum, because it never feels like he's not a part of the team that also fails, right? But the numbers don't seem to back that
well, up. So first of all, I would recommend everyone read, I believe The Ringer had an article about Chris Paul this week. And don't read it. I'll sum it up. It's basically him saying, I know people don't like me because I'm so competitive, but I don't care. And I thought it was hilarious, because this is the problem with him and Russell Westbrook and all these guys, is that in that article he said, in college or high school or something, like, sometimes I would go crazy, yell at a ref, get a technical and get suspended the next game, but I don't care, I just want to win. And like, take a step back.
Think about the fact that if you
do behavior that gets you suspended for a game, you're not going to be helping your team win in the next game.
But what if your suspension is so big that it takes out Jimmy Butler and then you still lose the game anyways?
Yeah. No. Okay. And also, Steve Javy, one of the ex-refs that they always like have him, they consult him during telecasts.
Yeah.
So like, he said that like Chris Paul is difficult to deal with as a ref, which means like the entire ref organization, probably most of them dislike working with Chris Paul in a game.
Yeah.
Right. So is it possible that that could hurt your team?
Ooh.
And your chances of winning? So like, winning isn't just I'm an asshole over and over. And in that article, it's funny, he's like, I feel a kinship with Kobe and with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
those two guys don't like that guy.
Also, like, Kobe, I would say, did not have the contentious relationship with the refs that Chris Paul has had. And also, I think Kobe probably, as bullheaded as people think he is, and as like yelled at people in practice or whatever, I believe was probably easier to work with as a teammate than Chris Paul.
How about this? It's like they're both incredibly hard to work with as teammates, but Kobe might be a little better. I don't know.
Kobe might just be a little better at basketball, so that when he wins you a game, you kind of like when he won his last game against Utah.
Yeah.
Like, Julius Randle was working so hard
to get him that ball.
Like, he had buy-in from his teammates.
Yeah.
And maybe that just comes from you deliver a lot, but Chris Paul has a history of like, people don't love being around him when he's on the court. And he even acknowledges it in this article, but the blindness of that to the fact that it might hurt your chance of winning is hilarious.
It's so interesting, because like, I don't think that you can say that Kobe was loved by his teammates all the time.
No, I don't think he was.
I don't think you can say Chris Paul is loved by all of his teammates. There's definitely been some people who have not liked him, but there have been a lot of people who have liked him. I mean, same both. I don't know. It's tough because, you know, we're not like in there at that level of like, how do these guys actually get along? Like, I mean, if Chris Paul was such a dickhead, would he be on the banana boat?
Well,
right? Like, would he?
But has he been on the same team as anyone on the banana boat?
Yes.
Who?
Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, so Kobe and Shaq famously didn't get along.
Yeah.
However, on the court, they were very, like, compatible.
Yes.
Blake Griffin and Chris Paul never found how to, like, truly play together in a world-beating way.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Paul, who until last year had never been to the conference finals, has been on teams with some pretty great players.
Yeah.
So it's not even this, like, the James Harden thing of, like, he has no all-stars on his team.
Yeah.
You know? Blake Griffin is, like, one of a generationally physically talented, and actually just talented at basketball.
Yeah.
I tend to think of him as being physically talented because he can dunk and everything. But
he's good.
He's smart. He can handle the ball. Like,
yeah.
You know, so anyway, I think Chris Paul, I think that it's hard because I think he has the mentality of someone that wants to be the alpha dog.
Yeah.
And
I mean, in this game, he was the alpha dog for the Rockets, right? He was the one who made it so they would win the game if he played.
Yeah.
Right. And I would love to see what the, like, the final, like, push of that is. Like, if Chris Paul wins you the game when he's on the court, do you not take him off the court? Right.
You got other concerns about his age.
Yeah.
And his, he's prone to injury.
And don't you just kind of try to push through that to win a game so you don't hopefully, go down 2-0? Yeah. Like, and you know, this is all
they might
noisy
be,
statistics.
They might be like, we're on the road, we'll push a certain amount.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but they're the only team down 0-2.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting mix because now he's on a team where the best player isn't really alpha dog in terms of his personality.
Yeah. Personality wise, no.
So, right. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Harden actually played okay. I mean, Harden and Durant are not shooting particularly well in these two games.
No.
Durant is still the best player in the series and the best player in the playoffs and probably the best player in the league.
Are you putting Durant above Giannis?
I would say so far, yes, given his level of competition.
Durant and Dame having similarly, or like I feel like those two guys are having a similar playoffs.
I would have, but this last game by Dame was not great.
Yeah, but then Kevin Durant had that game that was not great against the Clippers.
How many did Damian Lillard score in this last game?
He scored like 16.
Okay, because Kevin Durant's worst game in the playoffs was 22.
Yeah,
and also he is being very aggressive on the defensive side.
He is playing really good defense. That's a great point. He's absolutely being a world beater on defense he's their center. Kevin Durant is the center
with the Hamptons five. Yes,
which is so. I mean, which is very, very wild.
Yeah. So they are starting Iguodala at the top of the games. So because that's what starting means.
Yeah.
But normally he's not coming in until like 4 minutes left in the first quarter or something like that.
But I think part of it's because they are exploiting Clint Capela. Clint Capela.
So Durant is on Capela.
Yeah.
After game one, I believe that I said that I wasn't worried about his rim running. I am worried about his rim running now.
Because
they have clearly game planned for it.
Yes, they have.
And they're aggressively reading it as the second option off of pick and rolls.
Yeah.
So first of all, they're not doing the gimmicky defense on giving Harden the lane. It's not as obviously gimmicky as the way Utah did it.
Yeah.
Like there was a great play where Klay Thompson just like it was like NFL intercepted a lob pass. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. What they're leaving the Rockets with is that diagonal skip pass to the corner for a three.
Yeah.
If a third person comes in and helps on that lob, there's a person open in the corners.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but not as good as a dunk.
Yeah.
Especially the way the Rockets haven't had really they haven't had a game this playoffs yet that was like, ooh, it's the Rockets, like, you know, 40 points in a quarter.
They had one game against Utah.
Where they just, like, blew it out.
They blew it out. Yeah. But other than that, it's been very much like you've kind of predicted that the Rockets are, like, struggling to enforce their style of play on the playoffs.
Well, and I would be concerned about the Rockets' ability to change game plans.
Yeah.
Because... like I said, I mean, it's obviously a luxury having Durant, Curry, and Clay.
Yeah.
But, like, Curry and Clay have not played well in the first two games.
No.
Like, they're just...
I mean, they're hurt, and, you know, they both have banged up lower bodies, and Curry hurt his left hand, and...
Yeah, that's right. Curry dislocated his a finger on his left hand.
Yeah.
Harden got scratched in the eye a couple times.
Yeah.
But a good plan B is having Kevin Durant ISO.
Here's my question. Do the Rockets have to Clint Barton, Clint Capella?
What is that?
Clint Barton is Hawkeye, and they've iced him in the Avengers Infinity War. He just wasn't in it at all.
Oh.
So they have to Clint Barton him, take him out, so that he can come back and be even stronger later in the series.
So let's see. Let's look at this on a short term. Who could they start instead of Clint Capella?
Oof.
Well, you know who they need is Joey Chi.
Joey Cheese, the Cheese Master. Bring me some Gouda because like, I'm dunking the ball.
Could they? First of all, they're depending on guys to bring it consistently in the playoffs. That just they're a little, I think, over their head. I think Gerald Green is fun. I think Daniel House is a great story.
Yeah,
but like Daniel House was in the G League. Him going up against Iguodala in a playoff moment.
Is there a point to be made? Is there a thing if the Warriors are going small to take Clint Capella out of the game and play Austin Rivers instead and just go mm-hmm. completely small and just like really try to crash the boards as your small guys? I mean, like it's so silly to me because that would mean that the tallest guy on the floor for them is going to be like 6'6", basically.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I think I can't remember if Rivers is 6'8" or 6'6".
I don't know because like
PJ Tucker's.
They are, 6'6", yeah. If they take Capella out, then they will get even more crushed on the rebounding side.
They will.
You know.
But, I mean.
Their most aggressive rebounder is probably PJ Tucker.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Their only guy above 6'7" that they're playing in their rotation is Clint Capella.
Yeah. And the problem is if they put in something like, when they put Fareed or Nene in. They just get exploited by just Curry.
Wrecked.
And so this is my thing about the Rockets, their ability to game plan. And honestly, D'Antoni hasn't shown a history in his career of being like a playoff mastermind.
Yeah.
They are a little bit like, we've got our plan. It's to take a lot of threes. We're just going to keep running this at you and hope that the variance works out and we win a little bit. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
For example, they do a lot of switching on defense, but that makes it very easy when Nene comes in to get Nene onto Curry.
Yeah.
I saw a fascinating video. It might have been by Kirk Goldsberry, or I have to figure out who it is, analyzing the Warriors' defense. So last year, the Warriors were doing these really cool, like, we'd switch, but then but Draymond would call an off-ball switch to get people back on the players they wanted.
Yeah.
So like if Curry got switched in a defending a pick and roll, they would coordinate a like switch to get Curry back off of it.
Yeah.
While nothing was happening. And honestly, the Rockets play into this by having a lot of dribbling at the top of keys.
Yeah. I mean, with the game of James Harden's isolations are the best play in basketball. Like, you know, you can kind of deal around that if you're going to be able to switch.
Yeah, I would actually say one weakness of the Rockets offense in general is that there's windows in the shot clock that don't seem to be threatening at all.
Ooh.
So when he's sizing up his ISO, like that seems like a good time to switch people on other parts of the floor.
You mean instead of 7 seconds or less, this is the 7 seconds of less.
Basically. So now this year, the Warriors, and I don't know if this is new this year, but I just saw the thing highlighting it. The Warriors are switching Curry before pick and rolls if his player is the next one closest that might be involved in the pick and roll.
So interesting.
So they are... Like, imagine Harden at the top of the key.
Yeah.
And let's say, who would Curry might be guarding?
Like PJ Tucker.
Let's say he was on PJ Tucker for some reason. And Tucker's like at where the elbow is or the side of the arc or something like that. And they feel like Tucker is going to come pick and roll, set a screen for Harden, and they're going to switch Curry onto Harden. So Draymond will call Curry to switch to the player in the corner.
Yeah.
Even if it's Clint Capella or whoever, they'll have him switch away. Actually, typically, King Capella is involved in the pick and roll. But
yeah.
They move him one man away so that then the pick and roll comes and they've switched Iguodala onto Harden or something like that, or Draymond onto Harden. It's really cool.
I like it.
And actually makes it really fun to watch when the Rockets have the ball, considering their offense is very not fun to watch. I would expect a huge blowout win from Rockets the next game.
Interesting.
I think that they're going to, because this is why. First of all, still got the Rockets in six. They're going to sweep four games here.
Yeah.
Highly unlikely. But it's also unlikely that they're going to win four out of five. But they need a big blowout win, because I don't believe that they or I or anyone thinks that their model works right now.
No, I mean, we're all out on the Rockets.
They need a game where they just blow the roof off offensively.
Yeah.
Have one of those. Was it last year they had like a 48-point quarter or something like that?
Yes.
They need one of those to like get well. Even if they win, game three by like three,
yeah,
I would just be like, well, you got that one. They need an affirmation of their proof of concept.
Yeah.
So I would expect that. They're going home. They're still shoot better. I would expect a 20-point win and a game where Kerr pulls the starters by the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
That's what I'm predicting.
To play for game four.
Yeah, I would say if that doesn't happen, I mean, obviously, if they lose, it's totally over. And like, if they lose, then it's just about avoiding a sweep.
Yeah.
Which would be a very embarrassing end to a Rockets season.
Not what you're looking for in the Rockets season.
Yeah. You have any thoughts about all the ref bullshit?
I think it passed its course.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it blew over. Like, they made a big deal about it, and then the next game was just like a basketball game.
Yeah, and game two was sort of innocuous enough from the ref side. And it was like Scott Foster was the ref, and like nothing happened.
Yeah.
So
except for the Ed Malloy technical double tech.
Right.
And they rescinded that. Anyways. Yeah. Here's the ref thing that I want to talk about.
Ooh.
The report got out today or yesterday or at some point that the Rockets put together a list of 80-some referees, decisions that negatively impacted them over the course of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they say cost them the chance to – not the chance. They cost them the victory in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals last year. And it was so wild to like read the details of what was talked about. Like, they complained that a foul wasn't called down under because the ball got kicked out to Durant and he scored 3 points. And they're saying because of that,
right? They should have called the foul.
We lost 2 points because Kevon Looney did not shoot those free throws and he only scores 1 point for every two free throws.
Right.
And Kevin Durant made that. So obviously that was always going to be 3 points. And it's like, you can't use expected value on one thing and real value on the other. You dinguses.
Well, I mean, it's also like, they definitely must believe in like, we don't have free will and that we're all in a simulation.
Yeah.
Because the idea that like, here's a microcosm of the same thing in game one, when it was like, we didn't get four foul calls, that would have been 12 points. But it's like, if Klay got called on the first closeout, it's unlikely he would have done the foul three more times.
Yeah.
When have you seen Klay Thompson commit the same foul three times in one game? Unlikely.
Yeah, not often.
But similarly to their analysis, there's a lot of like, you can't assume the game would have been played exactly the same except these foul calls would have happened. The game would have been totally different.
Yeah. It's called the butterfly effect, okay? Look it up.
Yeah. And that theory is that when a butterfly takes 27 3-pointers, they will only miss 25 and they get fouled on the other two.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you actually get the whole report?
I don't believe so. I think you can get what has been leaked to reporters and they have put out.
Yeah, I think that when you read that one play that you're talking about, that is particularly
egregious.
It's not. It just reflects a very unscientific way of looking at this.
Yeah.
I believe you probably could look at it in a scientific way, especially, but you would also need more, in my opinion, more data than just one game.
Yeah.
But you probably could look at it in a rigorous way, but you would also have to, for example, the Warriors lost, I guess, 1 point because of that. Like, are they going through the game looking at every possible infraction in the other direction as well?
No.
Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
So when they say, I believe they said that they had, how many points had they been robbed?
18.
Yeah. I don't know, it just makes you look silly.
Yeah, I think so.
And it kind of makes you look like the kid in junior high when, like, if you're going to get into a fist fight, you would say, like, my dad's going to sue you.
Well, actually, if you get in a fight with me, the punishments are going to be much more severe.
Yeah.
And
my dad knows a lawyer, and...
And honestly, it's unfair how you've treated me at this recess, and I think I'm going to not give you your turn when it's time to read in class.
And meanwhile, that bully can't read.
That bully can't read. It's a real bummer. We've discriminated against the bully now, and now the bully has three championships. I don't know what I'm going to do.
So this is fun, though. We got three tied up series.
Yes. I mean, I think that that's just, you know, a lot better than... well, I mean, I guess we got to wait and see and hope that they... You know, the next two games are also split for a couple of the series for,
yeah,
you know, for fun's sake, because we had some decently tied series in the first round, and then they all just fell off a cliff.
They untied
the gentleman's sweep.
Yes. Only Nuggets Spurs gave us a good fun seven game.
Yes.
Are you worried at all for any of the home teams that have lost a home game?
No. No, I'm not worried at all. Mm-hmm. I would be worried if they lost two, right?
It's yeah, I would be too.
Because
yeah.
Here's the thing. If you are a good team in this league, you're going to have to win on the road.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And these are all series where we have, these are the eight best teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Full stop.
Yeah.
Right? There's not a team that lost in the first round that's better than any of these teams, right. I don't think.
No, there's not a... we really feel like the Thunder should be in there.
No, like, I mean, like, you could make a point that maybe the Thunder and the Celtics are about as good.
Yeah.
But, like, still, I feel like that's still an argument, right? It's not just a thing. Because, I mean, the Celtics, I believe, had a better record than the...
Yeah.
So in my mind, I think that, you know, home court is important, but... Honestly, like, it's just about these teams playing each other. It's not really about home court right now, because I think these teams are all pretty evenly matched.
Mm-hmm. It was funny.
They had the same exact record, Boston and Oklahoma City.
Ah, someone in the someone that was a Rockets fan was saying, you know, guys, don't worry. Series don't start until the home team loses a game.
Well, I hope the series starts in game three.
Well, but I was like, well, that's not technically true when you don't have home court, because every home team could win your games and series, then you lose 4-3.
Series never starts, baby.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I don't... It's interesting, like, I don't really care who wins these series that much. I would like the Rockets to lose. I would like the Celtics to lose.
Yeah.
But I don't care that much.
No, I don't feel like I'm particularly invested. Like, I think I picked the Raptors, and I picked the Blazers, but, like, it doesn't matter to me either way who wins.
Like, my ideal four advancing would be Warriors, Blazers, Raptors, Bucks.
All right.
I'd rather
see Sixers, Bucks.
Yeah, I could go back and forth between Sixers and Raptors.
Just because there's real bad blood between the Sixers and the Bucks, and right. I want to see that in seven games.
And, like, my worst scenario would be Rockets, Nuggets, Celtics, and whatever. I don't care about.
Yeah.
So, because particularly a Rockets-Nuggets Western Conference Final would just be like...
The Tillman-Fertitta Bowl.
What's because the Tillman Fertitta?
Tillman Fertitta is the owner of the Golden Nugget Casino and also the Houston Rockets.
Oh.
And so Nuggets Rockets.
There you go.
Hey, ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba, ba-ba, da-da, deep cut pun.
then I would very much root for the Bucks to make it through and defeat either
yeah.
of those teams.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that even if the Warriors sweep the Rockets, which I don't think they're going to, as of course my prediction is they're about to lose four in a row.
Yeah.
Even if they do, even if they sweep, the thing is that they play such enjoyable basketball. I would say out of all the teams in the league in the last 5 years, the Warriors are the team that, like, it's pleasurable to watch them win. There's other teams like the Rockets that have a grind to them that is not particularly fun to watch.
Yeah.
So even if the Warriors end up dominating the series, I think we'll have four series of good, fun, watchable basketball.
Yeah.
Is my hope. And I honestly, across the league in these eight teams, I hope everybody just shoots a little better.
Yeah.
We got a lot of just not good shooting going on.
That is fair. I mean, I want to see one of those 55% shooting games from the Bucks where they just score 130 points and cram it all over the Celtics. Ooh, I want that real bad.
Well, there was I believe in the Rockets Jazz, one of the games, there was a series sequence of 7 3-pointers made in a row.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching those kind of, if you watch highlights when they used to have NBA Classic or whatever.
Yeah.
There are highlights from playoff games between the 76ers and the Celtics with the Larry Bird, Dr. J, or where it would be 9 made shots in a row.
Yeah.
And it's just holy crap. These guys are just now the defenses are weaker or whatever, but
yeah,
still,
there's
a lot of open shots being missed at this point.
Yeah. So let's tighten up the screws, y'all.
Tighten it up, guys. Tighten it up. Get in that gym. Kyle Lowry put in some shots. I know you don't like to practice.
We talking about
practice?
Poutine?
Yeah.
We talk about poutine. Not just French fries.
Oh, man.
Not just French fries. Poutine.
For you to admit you don't like to practice, and then we look at your history in the playoffs, that's not good. If Kobe was I don't want to practice anymore, or Tim Duncan, I'm too old to practice, but I am still going to win 5 rings or whatever.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But Kyle Lowry,
he's got plenty of rings. He's got... Fruit Loops.
That's right. He's got these new glow rings that Ooh, I saw.
Love it.
Have you seen those?
No, I have not.
They're just regular wedding bands, but on the bottom they have luminescence like a Timex watch.
Wow.
And then you gotta charge it up. It's funny, they were just charge it up with a UV light. It's like, what?
Yeah, just do it. Just keep a UV light in your house.
Oh, just have one of those?
You don't have a UV light in your house to check for stains?
I have one right up there for magic reasons.
Ooh.
For a trick that I was working on
that
did not turn out to be that great.
Didn't pan out.
You got any shows this week?
I said, we got a Logan Everett yearbook tonight.
Oh, by the way, cage match results. Let's hear them.
Cage match results. We played against Wild, and we unfortunately did not pull out the victory. Logan Everett, we were missing a couple of votes at the end, but the show was really fun. People really enjoyed it, and we're really excited to resubmit and come back and challenge another team in the future.
Very good.
So yeah, now we got our show tonight, which I will not be at. So Ooh. I am not going to be at the show, but my team is because I am flying to New Mexico. And like I said, if you're a New Mexico listener that wants to watch me do another show, I'm going to be officiating my mother's wedding Saturday at 5 p.m. in Rio Rancho.
Just drive around Rio Rancho.
Around Rio Rancho until you find the hottest party this side of probably a hotter party down the street.
I have magic to do tonight.
Yes.
And that's it, because tomorrow I'm going to see Silver Silverman and
that's right.
Seth Rudetsky. And then that's it for the weekend.
Yeah,
awesome. Just before we go, just going to point out one little stat I just looked up.
Do it.
In the regular season, in his career, Kyle Lowry has a PER, not a stat I love, but just for comparison, of 18.4.
Okay.
And win shares per 48 of 0.155.
0.155 is a good win share.
Playoffs numbers. Career PER, 15.7.
Okay.
Win shares per 48, 0.94.
The win shares isn't that different.
He went from 0.155 to 0.094.
Oh, I thought you said 0.115.
No, 0.155.
Yes, okay, huge drop.
Yeah. So just saying, maybe get in that practice gym a little bit.
Dun, dun, dun.
But other than that, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.